Glory. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I guess it was possibly Wednesday of this past week. I was going to check on my mom to honor her. And I got the call that Apostle wants you to minister on Sunday. And so immediately, expediently, suddenly, and straightway, I started praying. Amen. And the Lord says, He says, you've been teaching on honor in the school of ministry for the last 5-6 years or so. And he said, teach on honor and let them know and give them what you give the students in the school of ministry on honor. Amen. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to be talking about the spirit of honor and how it's so very vital and so very important that we know how to honor properly. We're going to be looking at various aspects of honor, the advantages of it, the benefits of it, and even on the flip side, when a person does not walk in honor properly, the things because of not walking in honor, how it could short circuit the power of God in your life. It could cause things. And I don't even go there so much, but it won't go well with you when you walk in dishonor. I'll leave it at that. So we're going to start. But what I want to do firstly is start off with a foundation. In the apostolic government of God, honor is the center of how we function and operate inside the kingdom of God's government. God is a God of order and honor. And honor is indeed the structure of honor. I'm sorry, order is indeed the structure of honor. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. We're going to start with a foundation because the foundation was laid and it talks about how the government is upon his shoulders and how order and honor comes strictly out of government. And when you have proper government, you're going to have order, and you're going to also, honor is going to have to be the center. Amen? So Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Praise God. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6, it says, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. And I like the way it says that, to order it. God is going to order his kingdom and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. And it says that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So God's zeal is gonna make sure that his kingdom is ordered properly. And that's so very important. And there's gonna be judgment and justice for henceforth, you know, in his government. In order for the apostolic government of God to operate properly, there must be respect and there must be honor. I'm not a military person, or I'm, in other words, I've never served in the military, but my dad had. I was born on a military base, a Marine Corps base. My father ran our house like a boot camp because he was a drill sergeant. So you know. I can remember, and I always share this story. I had got up to get ready to go to school one morning. I was maybe 12, 13, somewhere like that. And I had got up early, got my clothes, and I was ready to go. But the bus still had 15, 20 minutes. So I said, I'm going to lay back in my bed and just kick it back and just relax. And then I saw my dad walk down the hall. He kind of looked, and he walked down. He went back down to his room. When he came back, he had a belt in his hand. You know, and he wore me. And what he was telling me was, as a man, you need to get up and be about doing something. He said, I know your bus is not there yet, but you could be taking out the trash or doing something. Don't be laying up here like a sissy, you know. I never forgot that, you know. But there was always order in our house. But because of that, there was honor. I always honored him. I always respected him, you know. And even as a school teacher, and I'm going to get off of it, but people would tell me who took his class. Nobody got out of order in his class because he was a disciplinarian. That was back then when you could actually discipline kids in school, you know. But, you know, you learn, you shut up, you know. You'd rather go to the principal than have him talk to you. You know, I'm serious. That people would tell me that, you know. But even more so in the kingdom of God, you know, for the apostolic to function properly, I'm looking at the clock already. For God's blessing to manifest itself as it should, we need to know how to properly walk in honor. And with that said, this past prosperity revival, we showed double honor to our matriarch, Miss Carolyn, and that was a blessing, you know. And that's how it should go year after year, sweatless, you know, showing. The Bible calls that giving honor to whom honor is due. Praise God. And we're going to see that there are benefits and there are blessings that we reap because of that. Honor should be the air that you breathe. Just like in this environment we're in, air is what keeps us alive. In an apostolic government of God, honor is the thing that's going to keep you alive. What I mean by that is it's going to keep you thriving, you know, and prospering inside the apostolic, because you got to walk in honor. You know, you got to breathe it in and breathe it out, you know, because it's the Bible says you owe that. That's our duty. Turn with me to the book of Romans now. Romans chapter 1 and verse 13. Romans chapter 1 and verse 13. In Romans chapter 1, verse 13, the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he's addressing and saying, he says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be," or you can say that presently exist, "are ordained of God." Okay? And those powers, you know, from a physical point of view, could be governmental powers, municipal powers, police forces, military forces. But in the government of God, there's levels and there's ranks. You have, the Bible says that is built upon the kingdom of God is built upon the foundation. Well, it's built, Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and we'll talk about that. First and foremost, we honor God, but then we honor God's government. And that's and apostles and prophets, that foundation is built upon them. It says apostles, prophets, then you have evangelists, pastors and teachers, the fivefold ministry gifts. Just like you respect and honor municipal powers, police forces, military forces, we must more so, even the more so, honor God's apostolic government and the apostolic, because you want to see the manifestation of God's goodness to reign upon your life. And when there's proper honor, God's power and God's ability is really unrestricted, you know, because of honor, you know, because of honor. Because, you know, number one, God wants to be praised, but he wants order and he wants honor inside his government. You know, that's showing the respect that's due the positions and the ranks that God has put before us. Amen. How can you honor God and not honor his apostolic government? There's really no way that can happen and expect to be blessed. You know, just like that was the illustration I was thinking about earlier. Here it is. Just like, suppose you have a party at your house and your wife is there, and then some gentleman comes and started treating your wife better than you. That ain't gonna happen. You know, it shouldn't happen. You know, We shouldn't allow, listen to what I'm about to say. As Word of Life Christian Center, I think you know where I'm going with this. We shouldn't allow, and thank God for, you know, all the sister churches of LTMA and all the LTMA members, but we shouldn't allow other Christians, members of our circle and establishment come and show more honor to our man of God than we do. That shouldn't happen, and it ain't going to happen. Not if I got anything to do with it. That shouldn't happen, you know, because this anointing is here primarily for us. It's for the world, but God put it here. It could have been anywhere else in the world and thrived. You know, it could have been anywhere. Zimbabwe, you know, just anywhere. You know, Zaire, it could have been anywhere. But God chose in his infinite wisdom to place a man of God in our midst with an assignment of prosperity for the body of Christ, you know. So we need to be prudent about making sure that we honor our man and our woman of God and honoring the apostolic that's on this ministry so that we can receive the benefits and the blessings of what God has for us. All right. Now, since you're in Romans, we're going to go to verse 7. Just a little bit further down in Romans, verse 7. It says, render therefore to all their dues. And what that means is what respectfully and rightfully, is owed them. When you talk about, you know, dues, render to all their dues what is respectfully and rightfully owed them. Tribute to whom tribute is due. That means taxes, paying your taxes. Custom to whom custom is due. That's respecting the customs of the people of a country. Every country has different customs, and you have to respect the customs, you know, all the traditions in that country. I remember when Apostle was in Barbados, and we traveled to Barbados to the meeting several years ago. Well, their traffic laws are a little different. You don't drive on the same side of the road there you do in America. And we had to learn, I should say my wife, because she did most all the driving. And I wasn't going to even attempt it. But you know, there was a different custom, you know. And so when you're in a country, you have to respect the customs of that country. So it says, give custom to whom custom is due. But then it goes on, I don't want to belabor that, but fear to whom fear. Then it says, honor to whom honor. Honoring those who are deserving of honor. When we're going to look at various aspects of honor, what honor is, what honor entails, how to create it, honor's disadvantages, the advantages and disadvantages, and the curses that honor or dishonor can bring to a person who decides to go the wrong way. Walking in honor is a very important aspect of our lives as we live in the apostolic government of God. We are required to honor the power structures, the governmental structures that God has set up. And that's what, you know, getting back to Romans 13, it says, render unto all their dues. And then Romans 13 and 1 talks about all power, every, you know, police forces, governmental forces, all that's by God. Well, God's government, you know, that's the natural side. But the spiritual side is God's government. And we read earlier in Isaiah how the government was going to be on his shoulders. You know, and we're in that government, and inside that government that there must be honor. And so it's so very important that we're required to honor the power structures that God has set up in the land, both physical, natural structures and spiritual or apostolic powers. When a judge walks into the courtroom, I don't see the judge here today, but if he was here, when he walks into his courtroom, what's the first thing the bailiff says? All rise. Why is that? Honor. You're respecting the position. You're respecting the position, the years of study and getting to that point and position in that person's life. So, you know, doubly so, we are to honor our man of God. You know, it's one thing to do something, but it's another thing to know why you're doing it. You know, because you're showing honor to whom honor is due. And when you do that, God sees your heart. You know, because you're respecting his government. When the president walks into a room, they play Hail the Chief and everybody stands up. They're honoring the position, honoring the office of the president. Like I said, honoring the office of a judge. You know, so the natural, actually the physical world runs parallel to the natural in a lot of instances because the spiritual came first. So, you know, that's why it's so important that you know, we bring honor back to the church. You know, I mean, we are a, what's the word the apostle always use, but, you know, a pioneer. That's it. You got it. Thank you. You see, it's good when you can get help from the members of the church. We're a pioneering church. So we should be the ones that set the example. We should be the ones. Don't let nobody else come in here and set an example that we should be setting. Because this is our man of God. This is our headquarters, you know. And whatever you love, you going, whatever you love and cherish, you're going to protect and you're going to honor. You know, and that's just the way it is. Amen. Let's see. The anointing of God always flows down. When you position yourself properly, that anointing flows down upon your life. Turn with me in your Bible just to show you a scripture that correlates with what I just said. I like to back everything up by scripture. Turn with me to Psalms 133. Psalms 133. Excuse me. And I just stated, I said that the anointing always flows down. So when you position yourself properly, that anointing flows down on you and on your life. And it's so very important to be aligned properly. You know, if you're a mechanic or work on cars, or even if you drive a car, and if you let the steering wheel go, if your car is out of alignment, it's headed for the ditch. You know, because it's going, the road might be going straight, but your car gonna go left or gonna go right. You know, so when you out of alignment, you can't follow straight. When you out of alignment, you can't follow straight. You can't go straight. You know, so you want to always make sure you're in alignment. And what I mean by alignment, aligning yourself up with the apostolic authority, and even, you know, whatever gift, whatever calling that God has on your life, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but whatever, you know, the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of light. And God gives these gifts unto men and talents and abilities so that we can use them for his glory. All right? For no other glory but his. Because all the glory belongs to him. And so, you know, in aligning yourself properly, you want to use your gift, your talent, your ability to serve him with. You know, if you're an usher, You usher to his glory. You know, if you're a greeter, you greet to his glory. If you work in the parking lot, you do that to his glory. You know, because we're a team. You know, I was thinking about a basketball team, and you might have one person on that team score 30 points. You know, you might have only scored 2 points, but the 2 points you scored caused you to win the game. You know, or you might have rebound and threw it to the man who knew how to shoot and he scored the point. But guess what? In the final analysis, we all win because everybody was aligned properly. And, you know, you have your point guard, you have your power forward, you know, you have your center. But and each person plays their position. So it's very important that in the apostolic government of God that we get in our position. And whatever you're, one of the things I try to never do, if I'm given an assignment, especially by an apostle, I don't want to drop the ball. I want to do everything in my power to fulfill the assignment. You know, because that's honor. That is honor. Because it opens the door for the blessings of God to come down upon your life. Now let's go over to that scripture. I gave you enough time to get there. All right. Psalms 133, and it says, let's start at verse 1. Brethren, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garment. Verse 3, as the dew of Hermon, or Hermon, and as the dew that descended down upon the mountains of Zion, from there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forever. So imagine now, Aaron was the high priest. Okay, he was the apostolic for that time frame, and so the anointing, and Aaron was the one that went into the temple, and he offered up and did the services. Okay, so God's Shekinah glory was on him, being the high priest. And it says it's like the dew or the you know, that anointing all running down the head of Aaron, okay, coming down to his shoulders, coming down to his torso, now his arms, you know, his legs, knees. And no matter where you are in that apostolic structure, you know, the arms, the fingers, but when you align yourself properly, all you need is going to come down on you. So everything you need, you know, when, and all is symbolic of the anointing. So everything you need, and that's why it's so important to align yourself properly and honor in the position or in the talent and the ability that you have. You know, we got people here, you know, on the cameras. We got people back there switching, you know, working sound. I mean, everybody has a part to play in the apostolic government of God. And that's why it's so important. Alignment is so important. It is also required by God. I'm going to give you a new terminology now. It is also required by God that we honor and respect every life source. Life source, what is that? But it's required by God that we honor and respect every life source. There are different levels and ranks for those who walk in honor, and we must learn how to respect and honor all life sources. With that said, let me give you a definition of a life source. A life source is a spiritual being, which is God. God is a spirit, or a person, a human being, that is a giver or an originator or a releaser of life. God is life, and God has life, and God has given life legitimately to all that are eligible to be carriers and custodians of life. So a life source would be firstly God. God is He is life. The Bible says in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So that the life comes from God. But then now God puts that life. And we're talking about the heaven to earth connection. You know, it's coming down from heaven. It comes down on apostles and prophets and then fivefold ministry gifts, you know. And so the first person, I said God is firstly, he's life, apostolic leaders, apostles and prophets, pastors, pastoral gifts and the fivefold ministry gifts, a physical father or mother, because they nurture life. I don't think nobody got here without having at least two parents, you know, some kind of way, you know. But we are to honor them. That's my point, you know, because they are life sources at a different level, but they're still life sources. You know, we honor the elderly or our seniors, I should say. You know, grandparents, government, you know, all through everything we do, even on the job, we have to honor our boss, our company. You know, there's a degree of honor. And depending on how we act or don't act, you know, or react, you know, in the process of that honor has a lot to do with our blessing, has a lot to do with God's hand being on our lives, you know. And that's why the subject of honor is so important, because, like I said, there's different levels. You know, it starts from God, then the apostolic, you know, fivefold ministry gifts, you know, your parents. And then there's even an area where they're spiritual fathers. It may not necessarily be your father, but who's a man of God, who's assigned to another region. But when you're in that area, you need to honor the gift in that region. I remember years ago, my wife and I, we were in Las Vegas. She was there for a meeting that she was a part of, excuse me. And I didn't want to roam around the city because there's too much, you know, me and Las Vegas don't get along much. I don't care for it. But anyway, I found out that there was a church, and they were having a meeting, and I think Jesse the Planners was there and a few other men of God. I said, well, praise God, I got somewhere to go. And so I went there one night and one morning, and the minister was ministering. I'm not going to mention his name, but the Lord just impressed me to go up to the altar and sow a seed. So I went and put a seed in his hand. He kind of looked at me, you know, it's like, you know, kind of because he wasn't used to it, you know, but I sold it. And then after that, another gentleman, I guess he said, well, I'm not going to let him, you know, be the only one go up. So he went up there. He didn't have no money, but he had a pocket knife. And he said, it was a pretty pocket knife. He said, I just want to sew this into you. You know, but honor will breed honor. You know, it'll breed. When you know, when I say breed it, it'll cause it to perpetuate, you know. But I'll never forget that, you know. But anyway, let's move on. Okay, we talked about a life source, and I think you understand what a life source is. All life comes from God. Life sources are those people that produce and nurture life. When the Apostle Paul says to give honor to whom honor is due or owed, he means honoring all life sources. You owe them that respect. Anytime people dishonor a life source, listen up. Anytime people dishonor a life source, they open the door to demonic attack, satanic generational curses, poverty, and all kinds of barrenness and famine can be unleashed when you dishonor, blatantly dishonor a life source. You know, and that's something you don't want to do because there are consequences when you walk. Even in the military, I'm going back to the military, even though I never served, people think I was a five-star general. But when you do something that's unbecoming of a Marine or of an Army man or a Navy man, you go before a military trial. You can be court-martialed, and you can receive what is known as a dishonorable discharge. And from what I hear, that ain't good, you know, because that follows you, Brother Harold, that follows you for the rest of your life, doesn't it? Yes. Okay. He's a military man. That's why I wanted to make sure I was accurate. You know, so no different. Hear what I'm saying? No different in the apostolic. When you operate in dishonor, it follows you. It follows you. You got, you know, because there's a parallel there, and you've got to see the parallel. You know, so you want to make sure you understand honor, how to sow it. You know, and the consequences for not walking in honor. Move on. When people blatantly dishonor a life source, regardless of what life source it is, they violate the principle of God's sovereign existence. Because God is life, and his life flows down through apostolic order from the apostle, the prophet, and it flows to each and every person. Okay, and so when a person is operating in honor or somebody now dishonors someone who's worthy of honor, it violates, excuse me, the principle of God's sovereign existence. Amen. God then withdraws his blessing at any time and on any level. Thank you so much, sir. He withdraws his blessing. In other words, his hand falls back because you're walking in dishonor. You don't want to walk in dishonor. You know, you want to make sure that you, the Bible, and I always use this scripture, especially if I'm upset about something. The Bible says, never let the sun go down on your wrath. If you get upset, get bent, get perturbed about something, you go to that person and you get it straight before the sun go down. There's a song by a group that talks about that, you know, because that's going to open the way to your freedom. Amen. Your release. Amen. Glory to God. Let's move on. And the reason this happens, let me read this first. Anytime we have dishonor displayed, it inhibits. Yeah, this is important. It inhibits the anointing. or it short circuits the power of God from performing in our lives. The spirit of revelation, the visitation of the Messiah, the Christ anointing doesn't manifest itself in force as it should. Anytime this honor is displayed, all of these trees, and I was looking at the tree when I was standing over there, it was just glistening. It was just talking to me. I said, wow, this is excellence personified. You know, just, I said, whoa, praise God. You know, my wife tells me, I'm taking a side trip. You know, she likes to come and help decorate because they give her ideas for the house. Our Christmas tree been up since Sunday. Amen. But it's you know, it's honor, and it shows excellence. Amen. Let me get back on the subject. Okay. Anytime you have this honor displayed, it inhibits or short circuits the power of God. Now I know where I was going. All of these trees are hooked up to circuits and receptacles. Now, if there's a short, the power is not flowing properly. You know, something start blinking and you hear, you know, or it might even blow the circuit. And you don't want to short circuit the power of God from coming on your life. You want whatever God has for you to manifest and to do whatever it's going to do in blessing you, you know. But when you walk in dishonor, it can short circuit it. So sometimes that's why you have to check yourself. Lord, am I doing anything that's dishonoring my man of God or dishonoring my parents or dishonoring the seniors, you know, because I want, or dishonoring you primarily, you know, because honor first comes from God. That's our first primary person that we need to honor. Amen. This is because, and this happens because they dishonored, you know, and I'm talking about the short circuitness. They dishonored the prophetic and apostolic gift that God has sent. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and I'll decide what verse we're going to start at when we get there. Because that whole last chapter of Matthew 13 and around verse 53. All right. We're going to look at verse 53. My time's looking good. I can get it. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 53. I'm going to start reading. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed hence. And when he came into his own country, that means his native country or his hometown among his people, he taught in their synagogues insomuch that they were astonished and said, hence, had this man this wisdom and these words, this wisdom and these mighty works, is this not the carpenter's son? In other words, is this not Mary and Joseph's son? You know, the carpenter boy? They were kind of, you know, is not his mother Mary and his brothers James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas, you know, and his sisters? You know, I dated some of them. You know, are they not with us? You know, in other words, they were trying to look at him as ordinary, you know, homeboy, you know, homie, you know, somebody that, you know, hey, we grew up together. You know, you right down, you was raised right down the street, you know, and now you come in here with all these elegant words, proclaiming and prophesying and saying, thus said the Lord, who do you think you are? You know, that's what they were saying. I wouldn't say that, you know, but you know, that's what they were saying. Let me get back to it. It says here, let me get down where it was, verse 56, and his sisters, and are they now with us? Hence, or where did, had this man all these things? And verse 57 says, and they were offended in him. Let me stop right there. Offense will short circuit the anointing of God in your life. Offense will cause you to walk in dishonor. You never want to be offended. Or if you are, you get the offense off. I use the illustration when you look at offense, O-F-F-E-N-C-E, offense. When you walk in offense, it'll off-end the process of what God's trying to do in your life. Because it keeps God from blessing you in the measure, and we'll see it here. We'll see it here in the measure that he wants to. It says, and they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save or except in his own country and in his own house. Why? And the reason for that is, let me get to where I want to go. He's literally saying that familiarity in many places breeds dishonor and discontent. People from distant places or out of town tend to pull on their anointing in a greater way. This should not be. You know, and I'm really, I'm not scolding us, but I'm more, how can I say, it's not a warning, but it's just, and I'm admonishing us that we're doing a good job, but we can step it up a notch. We can step it up a notch in our honor and our service to our man of God, because I know for a fact, and I can't talk about you because I don't know you. I know a lot of you, but I don't know you that well. I know God sent me here. Yeah. I mean, I know that like I know my last name spelled backwards, you know. And nothing's going to pull me away from here, you know. Now, I say that, then something may come up tomorrow to try to cause offense. But I'm going to have to work my way through it if it does, you know. Because, see, God will assign a man of God to an area, and he will put an anointing on his life to match the needs of the people in that area. So that nothing is missing in their lives and nothing is broken, you know. And so it's very important. So getting back to what I just said, he's literally saying that familiarity in many places breeds dishonor and discontent. People from distant places are out of town, tend to pull on the anointing of God in a greater way, you know, and we're not going to let that happen here at Word of Life Christian Center. We're going to honor our man of God, and we're going to serve, and we're going to receive the benefits, you know, because all of us, we're heading to our wealthy place. We are headed to our wealthy place. Amen. Hallelujah. All you got to do is stay connected. I heard another great man of God say, and I always use this illustration, but sometimes I'll hear something and it just burns on the inside of me. He was in his hotel room and he was looking at a yard where they were switching trains, and he would see a train with an engine with about five or six boxcars, and they'd be going into the station. And then somebody would get off and unhook one or two of those boxcars, and they would go down a different track. You know, now the train and the other three cars were still going with by the power of the train, but those other two cars that got disconnected were still moving too. And they'll move a good little ways, you know. A lot of times when people disconnect, they still might be moving on yesterday's manner, okay? And all of a sudden, they run dry because they disconnected. You know, and that's why it's so important not to disconnect. If God's called you somewhere, you want to stay connected, because even though things may be going good, you know, you just left your life source. You just left, you know, your Joseph, you know, and you don't want to do that. You know, you don't want to do that. Amen. You don't want to do that. Amen. Let's go. Okay, what I'm going to do now in the next 20 minutes that I have, we're going to talk about well, first I'm going to give you a definition of honor, and then we're going to talk about different levels of honor and people and things we need to honor. Okay, honor firstly. Honor comes from the Anglo-French word honneur, O-N-U-R. The word means elevations, high position, one who has high esteem, or public high esteem. That's a person who's honored. They are people, are individuals who have reputation and character. Amen? Secondly, the word honor means those individuals that have notoriety and recognition. Amen. And thirdly, this is the really good definition. Those individuals that have certain privileges and gifts conferred upon them in lieu of their anointings, their gifts, and their ranks. The word honor is also the root word for the word honorarium, which means a payment for services. You know, generally, a man of God will know if they're honored by the honorarium that they're given. Because, you know, the Bible says that if a man of God is sowing his spiritual things, we should sow in him our carnal things. And it elevates us. That's what is also called upward giving. When you sow up or sow to the better, the Bible says in Hebrews 7:7, without all contradiction, the less is blessed because of the better. In other words, when you sow up, like going back to Aaron again, the anointing that's on the better comes down on you and it elevates you to a higher level. Amen? All right, let's move on. All right. Number one, in the area of six levels of honor, it's hard for me to stay on track. We already talked about it, but first and foremost, we honor God. Proverbs 3:9-10, very familiar verse of scripture. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits and all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. So we first must foremost honor God, you know, honor God. 1 Samuel 2:30. You can turn there if you want to. I'm trying to, because of the sake of time, I want to get it all in. I'm not going to go a second over. 1 Samuel 2:30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. That's showing honor right there, walking before thee forever. Then he says, but now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. When you look in one of the translations, that word lightly esteemed means disdain, D-I-S-D-A-I-N-E-D, or in other words, have a feeling of unworthiness. And so God says, if you honor me, I will honor you. That's a promise. When you honor God, and you see, you honor God when you honor the men of God, the apostolic, you know. And that's so very important because of the heaven to earth connection. So the first and foremost, like I said, we must honor God. Amen. Let me move on. Proverbs 15:33. The fear. Now, this is really important because with honor comes humility. Humility. Let me read the scripture. First, Hebrews 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Humility is a prerequisite of honor, walking humbly before God, you know, walking humbly before God. And, you know, humility really doesn't mean weakness. You got to understand it. You know, people look at, well, he's just humble. You know, Bible says Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, but Moses went up against Pharaoh. But see, what made Moses humble was the fact that he obeyed God. He did what God told him to do. There's only one time Moses disobeyed God, when he kicked the rock and God told him to speak to it. And get this, because of Moses' disobedience and dishonor by doing that, because of Miriam's disobedience by coming against Moses because he married an Ethiopian woman, her and Aaron, you know, they sent 12 spies out to see the promised land, you know, and 10 came back with a bad report, 2 came back with a good report. Neither Moses, nor Miriam, nor Aaron entered into the promised land, you know. It's only people who continue, you know, it was that whole generation, really. But when you continue to walk in honor and service, you know, that's when you walk into your wealthy place, walk into the promised land. And it's got to be something that happens consistently and consecutively. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's move on. Humility is a prerequisite of honor. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By humility, by being humble, and humility, and I didn't say this earlier, is simply obeying God. When you walk in total humility, you just obey God. You know, when I get an assignment, everything else gets put on the back burner. When I get an assignment from God or from my man of God, it's no different. It's no different. When I'm told to do something, it's just like God told me to do it. I'm not going to drop the assignment. You know, if I've been told to be a greeter, you know, I'm greeting. You know, and even so, and if all of a sudden your assignment gets canceled, I'm gonna just fall back on the last assignment I was told and keep on stepping on, you know, because the blessing. And you see, a lot of times things happen to prove you, to see what's in your heart. Sometimes you might be set down for a season, and it's to see what's in your heart. Are you gonna still serve me? Are you gonna still, you know, honor me? You know, and if you get disturbed about it and leave the church, well. That's saying something about you and your honor. You know, it's what it is. It is what it is. But there's consequences. Let me move on. I got 14 minutes. Matthew chapter 13. Well, we already did that. And we're not going to even, we've covered that. All right. Honor the prophet. That's the second. Or honor the apostolic. Which is the apostles, the prophets, I'm sorry, the apostle and prophets, honor the apostolic. Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and his own house. And then I also already told you that offense will keep you from walking in honor. Let me just sip on this a second. Since I just did this, I remember reading in the book that I teach from, that the man who wrote the book, it was another book, but it was about loyalty. Some of his members got on him and had an issue with him because he would sip water while he ministered. Every now and then he would take a sip if his throat got dry. You know what's up with that, you know? But you know, people, they'll let any little thing. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Don't let something like that throw you. That don't mean he's more or less anointed. He's just clearing his throat. Don't give him a break. Give him a break. Amen. You know, with that said, you know, apostle is he's how can I say this? When he says something, it just come out. You know, but you got to know the heart. Ooh, sorry about that. You've got to know the heart. You've got to know the heart. You've got to know the heart. You know, that was a good heartbeat too. Amen. Glory to God. All right, let's move on. Obeying and honoring the apostolic. 2 Chronicles 20:20. And you know this scripture like the back of your hand. It says, and they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Jerusalem. Hear me, O word of life. And ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, Darrell and the surrounding communities, Baton Rouge, Gonzales, LaPlace, you know, Lafayette, surrounding communities, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. That's number one first. Believe his prophets or believe the apostolic, so shall you prosper. You know, we got to bring that scripture home to you. You know, I mean, you know, that's what that's saying. Honor is reciprocation. Now, reciprocation or reciprocal is a kind of a mathematical term. You know, you have 1/4 and then you reciprocate it as 4/1. So there's a reciprocation. Honor is a reciprocation. In terms of the way you receive the anointing and the way we act on what has been released. It's reciprocation in the way that we receive the anointing and now how we act on what has been released. You know, we need to act on what apostle has released in this house. And you honor your man of God when you reciprocate that. You know, do I need to say this? Yeah, I'm going to say it. I remember some 7, 8 years ago, I guess it was, and one of the gentlemen I had lunch with last Thursday night, or a little brunch, I guess you can call it. But anyway, he said it was a Sunday morning. I said, okay. The Lord had blessed my wife and I, and we were able to pay our house off to where we owed the creditors zero. Amen. But the reason why I'm saying that is because when I came up here, I sold a seed into Apostle, and I told him that. And then I'm standing right here, and I'm looking at the first row. There was more excitement, and I'm not saying this in a negative way, but there was more excitement on that first row than, I mean, I saw the first lady, I saw Leroy, and they were just elated. And what that showed me was they want to see us. They want to see us get to where they are. They want to see us blessed. You got to, I mean, that was a personal experience for me. And I remember it like yesterday. I saw, you know, wow, awesome. You know, they were just, you know, and everybody was like, you know. But, you know, this is an analogy that I'm going to use. And don't none of y'all go there. And if you do, I didn't send you. But when you see people going to Burger King or McDonald's or Chick-fil-A, you know, there'd be a line of cars. Now listen up, there's a line of cars. Everybody to go get, you know, I don't want to even call it food, but every time somebody moves up, you don't get upset because you know you're getting one step closer. To your delivery date. So every time the Lord blesses somebody, all that means is as long as I stay connected, I'm going in the same direction. As long as I stay connected, I'm going in the same direction. But when you disconnect, you're going off. You know, so that's why you got to stay connected. Amen. Praise God. I think y'all got that illustration. But just being known, I'm not encouraging nobody to go there, to those places. I just use it as an illustration. Amen. I don't want to be called on the carpet, Greg, advertising McDonald's, Burger King, and Chick-fil-A. I'm not doing that. Praise God. All right, let's move on. All right, 7 minutes, 41 seconds. Honor fathers, honor spiritual fathers. And I talked about that earlier. Just because a person is not your spiritual father, they still deserve honor. There are certain people around the world who we look to as fathers. They may not be your father, but we're to honor them because they are life sources, okay? And one of the things I want to point out with that, you never, under no condition, at any time, not even in your thought process, you never want to put your mouth on a man or a woman or God. Never. Don't do that. Because that's grave dishonor. Don't let that happen. You know, under the apostolic government of God, you don't want to let that happen. All right, let's move on. Now, the next level of honor, which is actually number 4, because we did honor God, honor the apostolic, honor the apostles and prophets. Then we said honor fathers or spiritual fathers. Fourthly, honor your parents, your natural parents. You know, we're going down the ranks. Exodus 20 and 12 says, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor, and that's, you know, when I got this assignment, as I said, I was going to visiting my mom. I generally go get some groceries for her, make sure she needs anything, and I was checking on some things for her. Honoring her, she's 85 years old, you know, and I, you know, she doesn't have to pay any her bills. I make sure all her bills are paid, you know. Like I said, you know, All she's got to do is sit down and watch TV and walk around, do what she want to do. My thing is, Mom, I'm going to keep you in your house as long as I'm physically able to keep you in your house, because I'm going to honor you. Because I know my dad worked to pay for it, and I'm going to make sure that you enjoy it. A year or so ago, her house got flooded because of a leaking faucet. And we were able to remodel the whole house and make it as nice. Her bed looks like, you know, she said, "Oh, this bedroom looks like it's a bedroom for a queen." I said, "That's why we put it there for you, you know, to honor her, you know." But even little, you know, and that's not little. That's because parents were life sources. Even if your father might have been a scoundrel, a drunk, drug addict, or, you know, a woman chaser or whatever, you know, you still got to honor him, you know, because if it wasn't for him, you would not be here. And what happens when you honor him, listen up, or honor a parent that might not have been the best parent, you reverse that debt cycle. You reverse that curse, because there was a lady who was in this church, and she was telling me about her son. Her son never did really physically ever meet or spend any time with his father. He might have met him, but they never really, you know, because she had gotten, you know, divorced and moved on. And his father was a drug addict, and said up and through school he was doing good, you know, first, second, up in the junior high, got into high school. All of a sudden now, he's dabbling in the drugs and, you know, got heavily involved in it. And he said it's not until she reversed that debt curse or that generational curse on his life that his life changed. And then now, if I remember correctly, I know he's a doctor, you know. But when you honor, the point I want to bring out, when you honor properly your parents, what happens is, where it might have taken them years to get to a certain place, because of your honor, it's not going to take you as long. You know, the blessing is going to go to another level in your life because of honor. You know, and that's so very important that we honor our parents. Let me move on. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And then also, too, I'm reading some scriptures. You can go to them if you want to. 1 Chronicles 4:4-9, talking about Jabez. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called him Jabez, saying, "I bear thee with sorrow." Verse 10 says, "And Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that wouldest keep me from evil, that I may not grieve thee." And the Bible says, and God granted him his request. Why was that? The only thing that the scripture pointed out of significance was that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. So that's not saying his brothers weren't honorable, but he was just more honorable. You know, and because of honoring his mother, you know, the author talks about how he was probably grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, you know, but he did whatever he could for his mom. And because of that, when he gave that request, the Bible says God granted it. Amen. I'm inside of 1 minute. Honor the elder or our elders. When a person with white hair or older than you are walks into a room, you should stand up and salute them. Stand up and greet them. Help them, you know, because when you do that, you're honoring their survival skills. I mean, they might be 80 years old, 75 years old, but when you stand up and greet them and salute them, you're honoring them, you know, and for the life that God has put in them. And so the struggles that they might have had in life, because of your honoring them, the grace that God had on them to go through those struggles could come on you, you know. But when you dishonor them, you know, what was a blessing for them might be a curse for you, because of your dishonor. Amen. The last thing, I got 1 minute. Honoring the anointing that's in you. You know, you got to honor. I mean, if God has placed something on the inside of you. Getting back to scripture, I read every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights.
Okay, you know that.
So God has given that blessing or that gift. You've got to give it back to him. You know, you can't run away. If you got a call on your life, don't run. That's the worst thing you could do, because you will not be satisfied, because you're running from your blessing. You know, and even if serving in the ministry of help, whatever it is, that's a source of your blessing when you serve with honor in that capacity, because it's you know, you're honoring the anointing. You know, the Bible says, what is man that thou art so mindful of him, and the son of man that thou didst visit? God has made man a little lower than the angels. Basically, he's made him a shade lower than man, a shade lower than himself. And so he's crowned us with honor. And we need to honor God with what he has blessed us with. Zero. I'm done. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.